Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Yeah! Woo! Woo! Come on. You live to fight another day, Padres fans. Holy cow. That was incredible. What an incredible, incredible day yesterday. Just electric, elite. And we are alive. The San Diego Padres were alive. I was hopeful, as I said yesterday. I was not faithful. I was very, very hopeful. And they delivered yesterday. Don't know that I'm any more faithful today, but my hope is brimming. Welcome in. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with all you guys. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Paulie and I arrived today at the same time. I in my car and him on his scooter. I got out of my car. I hear bring, bring, and I died laughing.
We just started giggling.
Bring, bring.
You had to be careful because all the lights are out at the Odyssey.
What is happening
studios,
down there?
At least outdoors.
Yes.
So you could have run over Paulie and killed him
in a second.
Terrible.
Yeah, dude. Like that's not. You're not even joking. Like there were no lights on downstairs. So.
Good thing my scooter's got a nice headlight.
That's true. And Paulie and a bell to
and
warn
bell,
me.
Yes.
So as I pull up, he rides a bring bring, and I go, "What's going on?" And what it's so weird. He goes, "Is the power out?" And I go, first thing I thought is, if that elevator's down, I'm going home. I'm just going to go home. I'm not. Paulie has his big scooter. He would have to walk it up six flights of stairs. To my left is Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, Benjamin. Great seeing you yesterday. Great seeing you as well, Paulie, out at Park 101. What a fantastic
that
place.
That was
that's
one
the
of
best
the
best
one. Scenes, best events I think we've ever had with 97.3 The Fan. No offense to any other events. They've been great. But that one, fueled, of course, by an electric Padres win, was about as good as it gets. And what a great venue up there in Carlsbad.
Somebody DM'd me yesterday. He goes, "Hey, man, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. But have the Padres ever won a game when 97.3 The Fan does a watch party?" And I wrote, "I don't know, but I think you're on to something." And he goes, "It may just be me, so I'm not coming today." And I said, "Okay, good idea." And they won. So I wrote back. I go, "Well, we got one." He goes, "Yeah, I think it's me."
We haven't done too many. They lost when we went to Moneyline earlier this year to watch the Dodgers game. They lost the playoff game.
A.L. Smith.
When we went to Lucadian
Did
our event.
And A.L. Smith, barely remember
that
one. Game.
Yeah, so this is a rare victory, and it was sweet.
Remember, we were at a spot in Little Italy, Little India. That was right before.
There it is.
That was... What was the series? It was 1-1 heading back to Philly in 2022.
Yeah, we lost that.
It was a Friday morning, and we're like, "All right, what's it going to look like on Monday?" It wasn't even a thought that they would win three straight games, and we would come back on Monday, and the season would be over.
Season would be over. Speaking of A.L. Smith, they gave me this yesterday, and I think I drove some people crazy. And I said, "Yeah, I'm the last guy you want to give this to." And he goes, no, take it, dude. I brought it for you, because he knew I would. I rang this thing 7,000 times yesterday. And I think I picked my spots very well. I did. I think, 3-2, Miller, and strikeout, It was great. So this is now, I'm carrying that with me.
Sevens 1904 says, "How about 7 Mile opening day in Korea? Lost."
Lost. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Lost the opener. Man, it was let me tell you. So I was thinking about this driving home, and I was very... not emotional, but it was like reflecting. And I went, dude, you've been doing this for 15 years. You've done dozens upon dozens, if not 100 some odd remotes, right? Remote broadcast, remote appearances. I've been to every type of business you could imagine. I've been to every bar. I've been to nightclubs. I've been to oil change places. I've been to cable companies. I've been everywhere. Standing out front, table, registering people to sign up, grabbing the mic, doing, you know, hey, thanks for coming. I've done it for 15 years. The thing that's been the most fascinating part about Ben and Woods, this experience, is that every time we have one of these, sure, man, you'll see the same 30, 40 people, right? That are stand, you know, you can book an appearance. You know, I got 30 of the same people coming and I know I'm going to see them today. What surprised me was yesterday, all the new faces, people I had never met before, people that had never come to an appearance, people that were like, bro, I listen every day, of all ages. I mean, there was a 70-year-old guy that like leaned in and told me the nicest things about our show and how much he appreciates it. There was like a 10-year-old kid that wanted to get a picture with us. Like, it just was really special. I'm like, I haven't met like so many of our listeners, and it just blew my mind that there were so many. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And it just kind of struck me as like, you know, because look, back in the day when I would do standard appearances at like a Dave and Buster's on a Tuesday night, standard, it would be 14 people and I'd see them every week. They would come every week. We'd shoot, do the basketball hoop challenge or whatever. But there was nobody else ever. We're having these events. People are coming out of the woodwork to come say hello. And it just makes my heart swell. It was so cool. The people at Park 101 were spectacular. The owner, Rob, was like the nicest dude, huge tier one. The food was unbelievably great. Unbelievably great. Who had the pulled pork? Because I did. Did you eat the pulled pork?
I had a bite, yeah.
Dude, it's legit. Absolutely legit. So I had the pulled pork sandwich. We had some nachos.
I was too nervous to eat. I couldn't do it. The game had started.
I had a little bit of the pretzel.
I didn't want to be distracted.
Love a giant pretzel.
I had some of the pretzel, though. That was good.
The servers were great. Like, everyone was just in a really good mood. Now, the score obviously helps and all that. But so here's the funny thing. So as you know, we work at a radio station. It's really hard to plan ahead during the playoffs. It's really, really, it's difficult for news stations. It's difficult for anyone, you know.
We didn't know what time today's game was until like 9 p.m.
I must have at work yesterday at Channel 10. Had to explain 30 times when the game might be today as they were trying to make their plans. Because it could have been on Channel 10. It's not going to be. It's going to be on ESPN at 2 o'clock. But I had to explain to all my bosses, all my coworkers, what the different contingency plans were going to be for today. It was very confusing.
It's very confusing. So I was buzzing after the win. And you know what else, guys? I realized I don't like watching games at home by myself. It's not healthy. I actually had a really, really great time watching it amongst friends yesterday. Watching it with you guys. Watching it with my buddy Craig that went to England with me. He showed up. Watching it with the tier ones. I was like, did I just grow? I think I just grew today as a 50-year-old man. I just grew. I went, no, I like this. So, and I promise you, this has nothing to do with superstition, even though I'm literally wearing the exact same clothes I wore yesterday, including underwear. I did wash. Everything's washed.
Okay.
But I'm wearing the exact same.
On purpose.
Clothing, yes.
But you don't believe in superstition.
I believe in repeating things when good things happen.
Consistent behaviors.
Consistent. So I have my Buck Funting shirt on. I yesterday wore very, very special undies. Check these out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Leopard print?
Busted those out yesterday. And I have them on again today. They were clean. Hannah washed them. This has nothing to do with superstition, but guess where I'm watching the game later?
Are you going back?
I have decided. Now, there's many reasons for this. The main reason is that my wife and I, who have a shared love and passion of the San Diego Padres, have not been able to watch one single solitary pitch together. Not one. of the Padres game. So I was telling her all about Park 101. I go, is it crazy? I go, we've got a sitter today, because they're not coming, I'll tell you that. We got a sitter today. Let's go to Park 101. The food's amazing. They're so great. Such a great place. She's like, I'm in. So we're going to go down to Park 101 again and go watch the game. So if anybody wants to join us, join us. We'll be there. I can't wait. I'll be in my leopard print underwear and my Buck Funting shirt. And yeah.
Paul, you need to call Buddy Black. Get him in studio at 8 o'clock for an hour right away.
Get your ass down here.
Honestly, I bet he'd do it.
I bet he would too.
I think we were all texting with Bud Black yesterday at one point or another. He loved it. And I'm like, bro, you can do this anytime you want. That was a blast. An hour was not enough time with
Bud
Black.
It went by like that. He was a total G. So nice to meet him, dude. And to have a guy that has done it, you know, at the highest level in all sorts of, you know, different capacities, come in and school you a little bit was great. It was great. So really enjoyed that yesterday. It was a fun day all around. It's exhausting, though. It is exhausting, man. Those games it feels like this week has dragged. It feels like we're on day 8 of the week. I mean, it is just nuts how much these games take out of you.
So because I did not take advantage of the food, the delicious-looking food at Park 101, and I had to get back to Channel 10 for post-game coverage, I didn't eat. Knew that was a mistake because then I was very hungry after the game, but there's no food at Channel 10 except they had like a party for like the monthly birthdays party, like The Office. It was October, first Wednesday in October. So they had some snacks in the break room. I had my first ever, and I'm an adult man at 49 now. I had my first ever Flaming Hot Cheeto yesterday. What do you think? Not for you? It wasn't bad. I'm not a Cheetos fan necessarily, but
I love the regulars.
I thought the Flaming Hot had a nice little tang and zing to it.
They're not for me.
Not for you guys either?
I don't like super.
Some people are obsessed with them.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I think you either love them or you hate them.
I didn't. I only had like a couple just to try it, but it's the first one I've ever had in my life.
They give me PTSD.
Really?
Yeah, because I ate them when I was incarcerated for a short time. I shan't be eating them. I can't even look at the bag to be honest. And ramen noodles I haven't had since. But you would pour it in there and eat it. And I can't do it, dude. So I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you that you got to try one, but you've really just thrown me into a loop. I'm thinking about it now. You call my therapist.
I'm glad my first experience came as a free man.
Yes. Now it probably would have changed things for me. My kids like those Takis. Have you tried
those? Those are good. Takis, yeah. I haven't tried those either.
They look to me like heartburn on a chip is what it looks like. When they take them out and they got the dust all, I look at it, my throat starts to close up. But yeah, man. So that's what you had yesterday.
I had a handful of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
You could have had the most delicious meal at Park 101. Delicious.
I was regretting
I'm
that.
I'm so
later.
Surprised Ben's because
like,
you
no,
love.
No, no, no. I got some Flamin' Hot Cheetos in about an hour.
I was free food.
And, you know, they were kind of, it was hot, and I was sitting in the sun, and they were taking orders, and I just like, no, I'm just going to watch the game. And I decided not to order anything. It was a mistake. It was. I'll have to go back and try the food because it all looked so good.
It was outstanding.
I know.
It was outstanding. So what a fantastic day. Thank you again to all the Tier 1s that came out. Thank you to our friends at Park 101. You guys knocked it out of the park. You knocked it out of the Park 101.
The Park 101, yeah.
It was so much fun. It was great. I didn't have any trouble parking. I parked a couple blocks away, but free parking on the street, it was legit. You walk outside, you're like, oh, hello, ocean. I mean, it was just like, this is my life. We live here? Like, this
I thought
is unbelievable.
That too. When I was walking back to my car, I looked over to my right, and there's just blue ocean.
I was like, this is the best thing ever.
After a win. God, it's a great day.
Not that it's a competition, but there was the official watch party at Gallagher Square, which we covered. And there were a lot of people there, and it was exciting. I kind of like the vibe at
too.
Park 101. I felt like we kind of had it beat up in North County compared to down at the park. We'll see. They're doing another Gallagher Square watch party today at 2 o'clock. If you're interested, hosted by the Padres, $5 admission goes to the Padres Foundation, but they will be doing that again today.
Yeah, I mean, it was just great, dude. It was great. I loved every second of it. Came home and had about an hour, and then we had baseball practice last night, which was a lot of fun, and then home to watch the playoffs. Got to watch the end of the Yankees Red Sox series and then watch the Dodgers wrap up their scrimmage with the Cincinnati Reds. Just their little warm-up.
Little tune-up
to get ready for the Phillies. Very much looking forward to that series. Go Phillies. Hey, do you think it'd be possible?
I just want that series to be as brutally long.
Seven.
And painful.
No, it's five.
Damn
but
just
it!
Like, just like an agonizing, like four extra inning games, and just let those guys beat up on each other for as long as possible.
Yeah, for sure. I do too. Paulie, remember when we were in Philly and Ben? Number one, we had the time of our lives. One of the best cities I've ever been to. Some of the best food that I've ever had in my entire life. I fantasize sexually about the cheesesteak that we had. Sexually. When I say it, not like, ooh, I would like to have it. I fantasize sexually about it. Both of them that we had.
Adam had one at Park 101 yesterday, and he offered me some, and I go, I can't do cheesesteaks unless I'm in Philadelphia.
It's like your first girlfriend was Elle McPherson, and you're like, no! Like, you got nowhere to go but down. It's true. Like, what do you do after that? There's the best thing I've ever had. So we loved Philly so much. But remember that Uber driver that we met that was like,
Philly Mike.
Philly Mike. Do we have his number? Because I would like to have him be a correspondent of some sort during that series, if it's possible. He was the greatest. The greatest of all time Uber driver.
Go heavy on your gas pedal in the middle of the city there, bro.
How's your morning?
Bunch of idiots like that.
The best part of that part of the story is that we almost died about 3 seconds before I started rolling there.
Yeah.
That's the first part of the clip, him going, well, heavy on your gas pedal there, bro. Like, we got into the car. I remember I was on the left side right behind the driver, behind Philly Mike. And he starts to pull off this curb, and a red Tesla comes flying down this alley at about 80 miles an hour.
Like a cobblestone alley, mind you.
It was built in 1750
by Ben Franklin.
And he just slams on the brake, and we're like,
yo!
I mean, we have barely been in the car, and he's
like, go heavy on your gas pedal in the middle of the city there, bro.
How's your morning?
Bunch of idiots like that. Other than that, not too bad.
Good, good, good. Is this the full-time gig or is this side?
Yeah, this is full-time.
Full-time gig? Nice.
And then you add in the friends that go, oh, well, he does Lyft and Uber. That means he's got nothing but time.
That's right.
And he drives. Come get me.
Yeah, that's what friends are for, huh? You Phillies fan?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we're going to the game tonight.
Nice.
We're from San Diego. We're Padres fans, but...
Oh, I am sorry for all your losses.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Have they really had anybody except Juan Soto since the era of
Soto?
Machado?
Yeah, man, he's a...
All right.
Tatis.
Fernando?
Merrill?
I mean, a couple, all right.
All right.
Very knowledgeable.
I mean, Machado almost came here.
He almost did.
We like Schwarber.
We love Schwarber.
We like a lot of the Phillies.
I mean, listen, there is nothing like watching a Schwarbaum.
Nothing.
All right? There is nothing like
I have him.
Although I am a little bit worried in regards to one individual on the team, because how the f*** did Castellanos get almost outrun by the catcher?
That was pretty amazing. That was a pretty amazing play.
That was funny as
that was great.
Watching Realmuto on Castellanos' ass.
Bam
like
Margera driving us.
Third, and you can almost hear Realmuto going,
I loved him. I loved him. How do we track him down? You got to go to your Uber, find his number, which I think you can.
I don't know how that works after the drive.
After the drive? Well, like, see if you can dig him up. And if not, we got to find somebody from Philly. We have to find somebody from Philly like that. It was so good. We tipped him so well. We gave him 5 stars. It was elite. But it was great. It was great. We got to have a Philly correspondent because this show will be actively rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies.
And hopefully a meeting later on between the Padres and the Phillies. But, of course, Padres have got to get through.
One more game
today
here.
Today first. It's going to be a wild one. We'll set the menu for the program today. Looking forward to it. Should be a good 4 hours. Let's check traffic with Kelly and get started here with Ben and Woods and Paul on a Thursday morning on number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Kelly. First half of the show this morning, of course, will be devoted toward yesterday's game. Our thoughts, we'll start with our Padres wrap-up. You'll hear Jesse and Tony's highlights, including Manny Machado's two-run home run in the fifth inning. I've got the Manny lean back on my shirt today. Feels really good for Manny to come through in a big moment. And we will talk all about the game. The bullpen performance, absolutely electric. That is coming up next. We will also have postseason Sammy. Sam Levitt will join us from Chicago on the early side today at 7:35. So we'll get his thoughts on last night's game and today's matchup. Yu Darvish against Jameson Taillon. Again, 2:08. The start time here on 97.3 The Fan and on the Odyssey app. Televised, instead of ABC, it moves over to ESPN today and the ESPN app.
I'm going to miss seeing you.
I know.
Promo.
We
Everyone
kind of bummed.
When you left.
If the Reds had won last night,
yeah,
it would have been again on ABC at noon. But because the Dodgers closed out the series, we got bumped back a couple of hours to ESPN.
Dodgers get you again.
Dodgers
is what
got
you're
me
saying.
Again. Yeah, we were all cheering for the Reds last night.
You had to leave a little early to go to Channel 10, so you literally Irish goodbye to everybody, which I'm very proud of you. That's my move. You Irish goodbye, and then every time you would pop on the screen, everyone would go, "Yeah, baby!"
Yeah!
So good.
Second half of the program, we'll focus maybe on the whole baseball postseason, including a visit from Eno Saris from The Athletic. Some smart baseball coming up at 8:35. And we'll have a somewhat normal show as well today.
Yeah,
with
I think so.
Don't do this. Real or fake on a Throwback Thursday. Still trying to qualify listeners for the trip for the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. A Rindle report as well. We also have some tickets to give away. Tomorrow night's game at Snapdragon Stadium, the Aztecs opening Mountain West play. We'll give you a chance to win some Colorado State, San Diego State football tickets and some more basketball preseason tickets for the Nuggets Timberwolves game this weekend at Pechanga Arena. So that's what we've got going until 10 o'clock today, but I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get to our first break, and then we'll come right back, get you the highlights, and start discussing a legendary 3-0 win for your San Diego Padres yesterday at Wrigley Field in Chicago. It is all coming up next. Glad to have you with us, Tier 1s. Oh, what a day. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Meanwhile, we get to talk about 7 Mile. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
I don't know why I turned the mic on to sneeze. Sorry about that.
6:23 in the morning. One of the great things about 7 Mile Casino, it's one of San Diego's few 24/7 options. I love saying when we get to talk about it this early, a lot of people work the overnight shift. First responders, you work in whatever, in an emergency room somewhere, you need to unwind for a couple of hours after a tough shift. You can go in the morning and play some California style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker. You can even have a meal on the 24/7 players menu at Sammy's. It's a great 24/7 option in San Diego.
Yeah, they got California style blackjack to sit down and play as well. Texas Hold'em, Pai Gow, Baccarat as well. Smoke-free environment. Best part, guys, just 7 minutes from downtown. So do yourself a favor. It's a great place to go chill. Great place to have lunch, dinner, whatever. They got a great view of the bay. So check it out for yourself. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, here's your two options. Hop on like the 94. You go east for about 30 minutes, and then you go on the back roads through Fire Country. Another 15, 20 minutes. You pull into a parking garage. You walk about 15 minutes through a smoky slot machine-filled casino. Or hop on the 5. Get off at E. You're already on Bay Boulevard. It's right there off the freeway, right on the bay. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. A quick update on where everything stands before we get to our Padres wrap-up. The Red Sox-Yankees series will go to a Game 3 today after the Boston Red Sox were not able to close things out yesterday. The Yankees rallying for a 4-3 win on a Austin Wells 8th-inning tie-breaking RBI single. Jazz Chisholm running all the way from first base hard, gets in like cinematically.
Beautiful slide,
sliding
man.
Sliding into home plate just ahead of the tag. That was a pretty cool and exciting play at Yankee Stadium in front of that crowd. The Cleveland Guardians Detroit Tigers series will also go to a game three today. The Guardians using a 5-run eighth inning to separate themselves in what had been a 1-1 game. Brian Rocchio with the go-ahead home run there. The Tigers going 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. That's got to hurt in the postseason. So that one will plead at noon today for the Tigers Guardians. And then the Red Sox Yankees game will be the last game of the day on ESPN. And
of course, so 12:08
noon on ABC,
2:08 for us,
2:08,
and then five o'clock
for for the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox.
Pretty solid that they've all gone to a game three. You know, pretty solid for baseball. If you're a baseball fan, if you're a playoff fan, which we all are, I can't get enough. I mean, I got in the car yesterday, Benny, and we had talked a little bit on the show yesterday about the decision from Stephen Vogt to start Chase DeLauter in center field, rookie. Making his major league debut. And they put him out in center field, and apparently it was one of the nastier sun and wind days that they've had in Cleveland. Now that...
Not that far from Chicago,
it's
either.
Not that far from Chicago. Chase DeLauter, major league debut, first ball hit to him in the first inning. I think it was the second batter, potentially.
It was.
He dropped it. The ball came to him, he was sizing it up, he was in the right position, and he dropped it, man. And my heart... sank. He had. They were showing his family. He had two or three rows full of people. And as a dad, I wanted to dig a hole and die for him. And I go, oh my God. Now, Tanner Bibee, much to his credit. Now, I was listening to this on the radio. Much to his credit, comes back. I think he punched the side.
Struck out the side.
The relief that kid must have felt. They came back. Bibee walked up to him in the dugout, patted him. He's like, we're good, dude. We're good. Don't worry about it. And then DeLauter ends up throwing a guy out at third base later to kind of save the game, saved a run. And his first AB I watched, he's up there grinding against Casey Mize, fouling off tough pitches, worked a walk in his first AB. Man, what an incredible day for him.
And then the last game, of course, the Dodgers doubled up the Reds 8-4 to win that series 2-0. Yoshinobu Yamamoto allowing 2 unearned runs in the first and nothing after that. But the point I wanted to make before we got to the Padres highlights, which we're going to get to briefly, I've watched a lot of the other three series. They've been sloppy.
Oh, even big time.
Even the Dodgers, who have dominated, errors, bullpen, you know, can't throw strikes other than Roki Sasaki in the ninth inning. But all other six teams have been sloppy, even in wins. Lots of errors, not being able to handle the wind and sun. The Cubs-Padres series has been incredibly clean and well played by both teams. Neither team has really given an inch in this series.
Well, not even have they not given an inch. They've taken many, many inches. Dansby Swanson with some elite defense. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s catch yesterday. Elite type of catch.
I would argue, if not for Dansby Swanson, the Padres have won both of these games easily, and it's over.
Yeah.
It's over if not for the plays that Dansby Swanson has made for the Cubs.
No question.
In this series, there has been no one. I mean, the tiniest of margins. One bad pitch by Shota Imanaga.
Yeah.
One bad pitch by Nick Pivetta. The tiniest of margins against two teams that I think are playing at the top of their game right now.
Yes.
Couldn't we have gotten one of the teams that's kicking the ball all around the field? No. Padres have to get the hard team, the Cubs, who have played very well these first two games.
Very well.
Which team can keep it up today?
Nothing worthwhile is easy, my friend. You know, and the Padres are going to have, if they can get through it today, they will have earned every single
and the Cubs,
bit
same
of
thing.
This.
If the same Cubs thing. Get through, they yep. will have earned every step of it, and the Padres have not given anything away either.
It's a prize fight, man. It really is a prize
this
fight.
This feels like a championship series, not a wild card series between these two teams.
No question. It just ratchets up, obviously, all the intensity for today, but you're right, man. That's a really astute point. You have seen, you know, Cleveland's kicked it around, Detroit's kicked it around, LA kicked it around, the Reds look like they've never played baseball
before.
They kicked it around.
They made anything easier for the Dodgers with how they played.
Like, they don't... I've noticed this, and I think a lot of people have. They don't give errors anymore. They just don't. There's just like, it's a hit. What? That ball hit him square in the glove. I'm surprised they gave Teoscar an error last night.
The Yankees have made errors. They've all...
Everyone is kicking
no one's
it around.
Playing well, except for the Padres and the Cubs.
It's been really crazy, man.
All right, let's get to the highlights of a great 3-0 battle yesterday. Our Padres wrap-up coming up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I love winning, man. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
Changes the calculus for Jackson, who sends one in the air to deep right field. Suzuki backing up right in front of the track. He's got it. Tatis is tagging. He'll come in to score. Arise also advances to third. And a sack fly to give the Padres a 1-0 lead here in the first inning. And immediately a good example of what that wind can do to balls in the air to right field here today.
Oh!
First pitch swinging in the air to deep left field. Happ is feeling for the wall. He's looking up. It's going to go! Waveland Avenue for Manny Machado. A 2-run homer in the fifth inning. And the Padres do add on. It's 3-0.
This will be the seventh pitch of the at-bat. 3-2 to Tucker, swung on, hopped into shallow center. Merrill coming on, he's there to make the catch. And Morejon has gone 7-up, 7-down to get the Padres through 6. Ace is empty, 2 outs, 3-2. Here's the pitch to Crow. Armstrong taken on the inside corner, top of the zone. Strike 3 called, and for the second consecutive day, Mason Miller strikes out the side in the seventh. Suzuki, Kelly, and Crow Armstrong both dazed. Not running. The pitch. Hard hit on the ground is short. Bogarts has it. Flip to second one. Cronenworth turn is in time! And a double play to end the game.
Morejon and Miller gone back-to-back days. Both got extended today. Morejon's still efficient, but 33 pitches. You know, Miller in the 30s for two games combined. I would have an expectation that all hands are on deck tomorrow. You know, but we're also going to take their temperature and be smart. You know, we got to value their careers as well. But we've only had two guys go 3 days in a row all year, and we've done it and saved it for these circumstances. So obviously in an elimination game, there's special circumstances.
Yeah. Mike Schilt talking about his bullpen M&M duo of Adrian Morejon and Mason Miller. And I don't know if I think he met with the media before he talked to them, because they both went into the clubhouse afterwards and said, oh, yeah, whatever you need, I'm there tomorrow. Morejon said, no way, I'm not available tomorrow.
Hi, this is Mason Miller.
So that is definitely going to figure into the calculus for a game 3 as the Padres beat the Cubs to even the best of 3 wild card series at a game apiece. And let's start right at the beginning, Woods. Talked about it on the show yesterday. Were the Cubs and Craig Counsell a little too cute in their decision to start the opener, Andrew Kittredge, who had already faced the Padres in game 1, they had gotten a look at him, and of course, the Padres then quickly come out with singles by Tatis and Arise in the first inning, and then Manny does not get them over.
Terrible.
He strikes out,
but such a bummer.
But Tatis steals third, double steal.
But I said at the bar, too, I was bummed that Manny didn't come through there with a knock, but I also said to you guys, I think, it's not the worst outcome. You know, oh, the worst outcome is flipping that ball, rolling into a double play, and you just feel like it's over. So the strikeout there, as much as it sucks, as much as you want your three-hole hitter to come through every time, he didn't. But again, no double play, you feel pretty good about it.
But in the key then, erasing some of the demons from game one, when you couldn't get the runners home from third base with less than two outs, Jackson Merrill lifts a very deep fly ball. No doubt
they
that they were going to, after the double steal. Yeah.
Yep.
And then he lifts the very deep fly ball to get Fernando Tatis home. They only score the one, but that one run is big to have the lead before Dylan Cease even has to take the mound.
And what it does is it tells Craig Counsell, you tried something, you lost, we won. So in that little window, we always call it, you know, win the inning, right? Win the inning. We score one more run than them, hold them, we win the inning. They put Kittredge on the mound. That was their strategy. Their strategy, it definitely backfired by letter of the law. It backfired. He did not throw up a zero, which was his job. He didn't do it. And we got to him. And so
Craig Counsell said, I didn't think he pitched poorly.
No.
Give the Padres hitters credit. They put some good swings to get on base and get the hits, but it did not work out for the Chicago Cubs. Bottom of the first starts. We're at Park 101. I think we're all holding our breath.
I mean, sick to our stomachs.
Dylan Cease. What Dylan Cease is going to show up? Gives up a hit in the first inning, gives up some hard contact, but gets through that first inning.
It was
so critical,
critical
for a little confidence to get him into a groove, because after that, the next two innings, Dylan Cease looked good, and the Padres, of course, did not add on to the lead. Freddie Fermin with a lead double in the top of the third inning. Didn't get him in.
Didn't get him over, did we?
Didn't give him over.
Didn't get him
over. Second base. You felt, oh, that could be dicey. Then the top of the fourth, Padres got two on. Merrill with a lead walk. Ryan O'Hearn had the single. Could not get either of those runners in. And
that was the pinch hit appearance for Jose Iglesias, I believe.
And they tried with the pinch hitter. I didn't hate the idea. You know, it was a good, well-struck ball to center field. He swung a decent bat here in the second half of the season, but it didn't work out. So we're going down the same road as game one. It's a 1-0 tenuous lead. Are they going to do the same thing? Will the Cubs take one or two big swings in the middle of the game and turn this game on its head against Dylan Cease? So now you're wondering, how long will Mike Schilt roll with his starting pitcher? We had already seen Adrian Morejon get up early in the game, got through that inning in the third, and then in the fourth, gets two outs, and you're going, okay, he's going to get through four, but then gives up the double to Seiya Suzuki. So you've got the tying run on second base, and Mike Schilt wastes no time. Stalls a minute, issues the intentional walk, and then goes to the mound to get Adrian Morejon onto the mound to face Pete Crow Armstrong. Gets him to ground out to first base to end that inning and erase that threat. And now you've said the bullpen is going to have to get 16 outs. I think Kevin Brown said it well when it said they're going to ask the bullpen for 16 outs with a 1-0 lead. Can they get it done? But, of course, one inning later, Padres add some insurance. So critical on Tatis's one-out single, an Arise sack bunt.
It's
which,
just the worst thing ever.
I mean, we talked about it a lot yesterday. Uh-huh. He tried to lay down one in the first inning. Squared around. Had he succeeded, Padres might not have scored that inning.
Correct.
Because he ended up singling, and that was critical later in the inning. He did succeed and got Tatis over to second base with two outs in the fifth, but he also created an open base where Craig Counsell easily and probably should have intentionally walked Manny Machado on the lefty versus righty matchup. He was questioned about it after the game extensively, grilled by the media, and he said, I mean, we thought about it. We liked how Imanaga was throwing. We didn't hate the matchup. We thought, let's go, and he made a bad pitch. He hung a splitter on the first pitch, and Manny did not miss it, hitting that two-run home run. And that, you know, gave the Padres the cushion. Changes the game entirely. 1-0 and 3-0 in a playoff game. In a regular season game, whatever. But in a playoff game, the difference between 1-0 and 3-0 feels like a mountain that you now have to climb
really?
For the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, with that bullpen especially.
And it no longer creates a tightrope. The relievers can pitch aggressively.
Yes,
going,
they can.
If I do make a mistake and they hit a solo
home
run,
3-1.
So what?
Right.
We still got a multi-run lead. Just don't walk anybody. Throw hard, throw strikes, make them beat us. And that's exactly what Adrian Morejon and Mason Miller did the next three innings, the sixth, the seventh,
before those
the
guys, though, with Cease, when he was still out there, Like, I was nervous the entire time. And he pitched well.
He did.
I think we all agree. He pitched well. But I had no confidence. And when it was 1-0, I'm like, bro, you're a hit batter and a bad pitch away from losing this game now. Like, yeah. Being, you know, in the losing spot. And it was just so anxiety-ridden. And then the bullpen came in, and it was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
Cease was, he was sharp. And then it started, we all kind of had that feeling of, oh, man, some of these are a little bit too middle. So they're not up in the zone
enough.
You're
getting outs, but they were barrels.
And they were banging balls foul, and it was like loud foul balls.
I think the decision-making was good because it was the velocity, and Cease was up. Mike Shilton knew there's going to be some adrenaline there, and you saw him hit up to 100, touched 100.
Ooh.
And we know the Cubs have some trouble with velocity. So even if you miss location, they weren't squaring up enough, at least, to do big damage.
Not fair. Yeah, not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was some loud, loud contact. But again,
he didn't have a ton of traffic. Like, he pitched well.
He pitched really
well. Didn't walk anybody, other than the intentional walk.
Yeah, the intentional.
That you know, as he was walking out of the game, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
He did not walk anybody, and that was absolutely key for Dylan Cease.
He was great, man. And it's funny, you know, you go back in, go back 30 years, 40 years. Yeah, Randy Jones is in here, and we say, Randy, how about that performance from Dylan Cease last night? 3 2/3. What'd you think about that? Right? Just goes to show you how much the game has changed. Now, I did find it fascinating that the entire broadcast was very flummoxed by the decision to pull Dylan Cease. And this may come back to bite Shilt. I saw people online that aren't Padres fans. Now, again, we live in a silo, straight up. A straight up Padres silo. I actually thought he left him in too long. I think a lot of Padres fans probably thought he left him in too long.
We were talking about at Park 101 with Chris Dello. I was going 9 outs. I was counting down the outs. Give me 9.
Yep.
Actually ended up getting 11 outs. So, yeah, maybe he left him in a little longer than I expected.
He definitely left him in longer than I thought he would, and it worked out in our favor, and that's great. And that gives Dylan a little bit of confidence to know, hey, man, I just succeeded in the postseason. I did what they asked me to do. So if you do get to the next round, he could be pitching with a little more confidence.
Well, you'll need him.
And you have to have him.
You'll need him if you win today. Obviously, he'll pitch against the Brewers.
Yeah, no question. And I think I just found it really interesting. You know, everyone around the country, oh, man, the quick hook. And I'm like, oh, actually, no. Maybe the not-so-quick hook from Mike Shildt. But, again, they are privy to numbers, though. They're privy to numbers,
They are, but I don't want to be arrogant. We know more than the national media does about the Padres. You're not going to get your better Padres takes by going to ESPN. Even the well-prepared crew that includes Jesse Rogers, who we love, you're going to get better Padres info, you know, from here, from the flagship station. That's fine. You know, just keep that in mind. That's why you can listen to Jesse and Tony as opposed to the national broadcasters for the game. Bullpen, of course, Morejon, essentially perfect. 7 outs. The one good break. The kick save on Nico Horner that went right to Luis Arraez. That had to be disheartening for Cubs fans.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe the Cubs dug out like, oh, maybe this isn't our day.
He barreled that ball.
Barreled one up and kicks it right to Arraez.
Right to Arraez.
Who just takes it and just
touches the base.
Taps the base. Like,
with the ball.
He must be so annoying to some other opponents sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And they like him, but it's like, man, that guy gets under my skin sometimes.
Of course.
And then Mason Miller. Mason Miller with one of the great shows that we've ever seen from a pitcher, really in baseball history. Had struck out the first three batters he faced in the postseason on Tuesday, and then strikes out the first five he faces on Wednesday. 8 straight strikeouts to begin his postseason career. That's a new record. And, of course, the pitch to Carson Kelly on the outside corner, right at the knees, at 104.5 miles per hour. The hardest pitch ever thrown in the playoffs since they began tracking in 2008. And let's be honest, the hardest pitch ever thrown in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly located.
That was disgusting.
The point made on the internet, is this the greatest pitch ever thrown by a human being?
The answer is yes.
And
unequivocally,
you can make
the
argument, yeah. I mean, there's nothing Carson Kelly could have ever done with that pitch.
You could throw it to him 50 times. He's not getting wood on that.
If you tell him you're getting 104.5 on the outside corner,
okay.
If he puts his bat out there to start, he might be able to foul it off at the very best. It's impossible. It was impossible.
Paulie and I go to fantasy camp every year.
And we get my number has always been 22. It's the number I've always worn. So I have all these fantasy camp jerseys with number 22 on them, but they all unfortunately say Woods on the back. Faux pas to take one or two in to get my name ripped off and Miller put on. Should I just buy? I mean, I probably should just buy a Miller jersey, but I'm like, I want to get Mason Miller's jersey. Badly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I texted a buddy.
Badly.
I texted some friends. I was like,
my wife said it's a faux
pas. I don't
paw.
Think it's hyperbole or just heat of the moment. Like, I think Mason Miller might be my favorite pitcher that I've ever seen throw a baseball.
Paulie,
he's electric.
Paulie, I'm in love with him. So I'm in love with him.
And my buddy's like, he's the next jersey I'm buying. It's Mason Miller.
I love him so much. And his demeanor, the way he carries himself. All of it.
I think I saw Wayne Randazzo of the A's say, I would have traded 12 prospects for Mason Miller.
No, dude, he's unbelievable. Just what a
Leo
weapon.
Who?
What a weapon out of that bullpen. And just as cool and calm as you can be. And that's his first playoff experience, right? You know, yesterday was his first, day before was his first playoff experience.
So as good as Robert Suarez has been, led the National League in saves, 40. He's been really, really good for the Padres. If you're the Cubs, you got to feel like, ooh, oh, wow.
We got to breathe. They're just 100.
We only have to face Robert Suarez. And, you know, Tatis had to make that nice play to end the eighth inning with a runner on, a running catch out in the, you know, tough sun of Wrigley Field in the corner.
Brilliant catch, man. Brilliant.
And then gave up the single in the ninth. But what a great play by Xander Bogaerts to turn that double play. That was not an easy play. If you're kind of watching casually, you go, that room service double play.
No.
Uh-huh. Did you see that hop?
Checked up on him. Then the turn by Crony was elite. Elite. That was an unbelievable play to squash any chance of a comeback. I'm so happy for those guys.
Playoff Xander is a real thing.
I almost just said F. Playoff Xander effing rules, man. He really looks like he comes to play. Yeah. I love that.
All right. That is the breakdown of the 3-0 win. We'll have some more analysis when we come back. We're also going to give away some SDSU football tickets. Stay tuned. Hour number two of Ben and Woods. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away, Tier 1s.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.